Reading Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 22 in the New International Version. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Father, good morning. There we go. I'm going to pray. Father, as we come before your word now, we pray that you would indeed speak into our hearts. Lord, your word is a true word. Lord, your word has the ability to penetrate our lives and make a difference. And so we pray, Lord, that as we come to it today, as we apply our minds to hearing this word before us, that your Spirit would apply this word to our hearts, that we, our lives might bend in accordance with your word. And we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. A number of years ago, I spoke to a person who used to attend this church. They grew up in this church, went to youth group, went through youth group here, went through onto the young adults group here. They attend a Bible study in church regularly, but they're not here any longer. I mean, they're still in town, but they've given up on God. When I spoke to this particular person, they said this to me. They said, "Look, I tried the God thing, but I just don't feel like I connected with him." Now, over the years, I don't think I could count the number of conversations I've had with people on this particular topic. I don't feel close to God. People say things like, "I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I've asked for forgiveness, I know I'm saved, but I just don't feel that connection with him. I feel like my relationship with him is kind of cordial, but it's just dry. I look at others in the church and they seem to have a greater intimacy with God than I do. They really seem to connect with God. But I feel like God is always at arm's length. That he loves me, yes, I know he loves me, but I just don't feel like he does." People say things like, "I haven't felt God's presence in my life for a long time. And I'm asking myself, what am I to do?" That is how they feel in their relationship with God. It's a nice relationship, but there doesn't seem to be any passion in that or intimacy there. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever felt like that in your relationship with God? That there's not the connection there with God that you would have hoped for? Let's be honest here. Like, who has felt like that? There's a few honest people. I want to ask the question today, why? Why is that? And I want to answer that question today. Why is that? Why is it that Christians can so often feel disconnected with the God who has already paid such a high price to have a relationship with us. He sent his son to die for us, to wash away the sins, to fix that gap that was there because of sin. He paid such a high price, he took the first leap towards us. We're told why we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if he's taken such a huge leap towards us, why is it that we so often feel at arm's length with him? Why would he not want a greater connection with us since he demonstrated such love for us? Well, I want you to come to this passage today and see whether we can find the answer. Because this passage was written for Christians. God's not addressing the non-Christian here. It might have something to say to them, and if you're a non-Christian here today, it might have something to say to you. But primarily, this is for Christians. This is God addressing the church at Laodicea. And what we're going to see is that so often we feel like God is keeping us at arm's length, but the reality is God feels the same way. We're keeping him at arm's length. What we're going to see is that he wants to take the relationship to the next level, but we so often don't want to go there. We will see that it's God who wants this intimacy, but we don't even realise why it is that we're holding him at arm's length. Now I'm going to read the passage to us again, but before I do, I want to explain a couple of things about this city that I think will help you hear the passage a little bit more clearly. Because Jesus refers to them as he speaks to this church. Let's talk about the town of Laodicea. Laodicea was one of the wealthiest cities in the ancient world. It was a hub of activity. It was a commercial city. It was a centre for finance. Supposedly, even the philosopher Cicero banked his money there. It was also a centre for the manufacture of textiles. Because of the large population of black sheep in the area, it was particularly known for the people of Laodicea that they would wear their black garments. So many people walked around in their fine black threads. And there was a medical school there, and they manufactured a particular special ointment that was really good for the eyes. It was sold all over the Roman Empire. It was called the Phrygian eye ointment. And it was made here in Laodicea. But the other thing about Laodicea was, of course, its water. Laodicea is in the Lycus Valley. And where Laodicea is situated, as you can see on the map there, there's two other New Testament towns close to it. Colossae to the south, Hierapolis to the north. And the city of Colossae was known for its marvellous cold drinking water. Hierapolis, on the other hand, to the north, was also known for its water. They had a hot spring which people used to bathe in for healing. In contrast to the water in Colossae, which was terrific, and the water in Hierapolis was terrific, Laodicea, however, had to draw its water from miles away through stone pipes because its own water was foul, lukewarm spring water, which tasted, I imagine, 10 times worse than Dolby's town water, if that was possible. Do you get the picture? It was a very prosperous city. It was really pleased with itself. It was rich. People walked around in their fine black clothes. It was self-sufficient. There was lots going on. It was a hub of activity here. They were making eye ointment and so forth. Okay, let me read to you what Jesus says to this church. Have you got it there? Verse 14. Jesus says that these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. Jesus says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What is God saying to this church? Well, the first thing I think God is saying to this church is this: I desire intimacy with you. Have a look here at verse 20. Let's think about this verse together. It's a well-known verse in the book of Revelation. Here I am, says Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him and that person and they with me. What's Jesus saying to these Christians here in this church? He's saying, isn't he, that he's not in their life. He's not in their church. They're meeting in the building. He's saying, I'm on the outside. I'm knocking. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I want to draw close to you. I want you to be on about me, but I feel like I'm on the outside of this building knocking and wanting to come in. If you go back a few verses, you'll see that Jesus is saying to this church, he uses that memorable phrase, Laodiceans, you are neither hot nor cold. You're just like the water that runs through your town. You're neither boiling hot for me nor freezing cold for me. You're just simply kind of lukewarm. So they're not indifferent, but they're just not excited. They're not enthusiastic about their relationship with God. And so Jesus says, because you're not like the water of Colossae, cold and useful, or the water like Hierapolis, hot and useful, because you're neither, you've just become like the water in your city, indigestible. And you know how your stomach reaches when you sip that disgusting water? Well, that's how I feel about you when I look at you. You make me want to throw up. That's the unsanitized version of verse 16. Because they're just lukewarm towards him. Ever noticed how often we use that word warm in church? I'll give you a warm welcome this morning. We're a warm fellowship. This talk of warm must make Jesus feel sick. He doesn't want his folk to be warm in church. He wants people that are on fire for him. They're on fire for the gospel. We should be saying, I'll give you a hot welcome this morning. We're hot for the gospel today. Jesus wants intimacy and connection with his people. Instead, too often what we give him is just religion. We give him respect, we turn up to church, our warm church, but there really is no intimacy there. Instead, it's just ritual. We go through the motions, we come to church, maybe even read the Bible, even maybe attend a Bible study every now and then. But too often, rather than being on fire about this relationship with Jesus, we are just kind of warm towards him. There is no intimacy, no heat, no zeal. And this was the Christians at Laodicea. They're respectable, they're satisfied, but they're smug. We're all good Christians here, aren't we? And God is telling this church, I don't feel connection with you. I don't feel like you really want to take this relationship to the next level. You go through the motions, you meet in my name, you talk about me, you pray to me, you say you want to communicate me, but for me it's like I stand on the outside saying, hello, I'm here, let me in. But you ignore me. Friends, could it be that it's you that he's talking about? Is that the type of relationship that you have with God? I mean, you turn up, you do Bible study, you serve, you go through the rituals, you're a nice Christian, but truth be known, you're not really wanting to take this relationship with God to the next level. You're comfortable with being warm towards him, because being warm and being just friends doesn't really cost you much. You'll show God respect, but you really won't take it further, because taking it further becomes uncomfortable. You're kind of happy just having God at arm's distance. You know, when you really need him, yes, I'll call on him. When times get tough, yes, God, you can come into my life. But I really don't want to be on fire for you, because that type of relationship costs. What's wrong with these Christians? How did they get to this point? If you're at this point, how did you get to that point? Well, have a look at the causes of a shallow relationship with Jesus, because Jesus mentions two. What causes a shallow relationship or a lukewarm relationship with Jesus? Jesus points to two things. The first is self-sufficiency. They were saying, I'm rich, I need nothing. And they were prosperous. And because they were prosperous, they were proud. Too proud to accept help. We need nothing from you, thank you. And of course, one of the great tragedies of being rich is you don't need help. Have you ever noticed that? That rich people cannot accept help? If someone helps them, they feel like this urge, I've got to pay them back and do something back for them because I'm a rich person. I can't possibly accept your help. It's only the self-sufficient proud that act like that. And the Christians in Laodicea were like that. Their town was rich. Their church was rich. They could meet their own needs. And when you have a self-sufficient people, then they don't need God. And so when a few of us, Gav and I and Brad and a few others, went to the Philippines in 2004, we found up there in the highlands there these subsistent farmers that had nothing that we had. But what they did have was a fire in their belly for Jesus. They had a great fire in their belly. They wanted to meet with him and get to know him, because they knew that only God could meet their needs. And so the first cause of a shallow relationship with Jesus is self-sufficiency. If you can get your needs met in a variety of places out there, then you don't need God. He just becomes one among many options for you out there. But the second reason for a shallow relationship is self-deception or ignorance. See, these Christians were deceived. Jesus said, I know what you are like. Implication being, you actually don't know what you're like. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. Jesus said, you think you're rich, but what you don't realize, in despite of your bank balance, that you're paupers, that there is no treasure in heaven for you. And despite the eye ointment that you make, you're blind. You can't see the situation. And despite the black threads that you wear, you are naked. And so this is Jesus' assessment of why they are not hot for him. This is the assessment of why there is no connection. Why we often as Christians find ourselves simply saying, I don't feel close to God. And Jesus is saying, could it be that you are so self-satisfied, that you really rely on yourself, that you get your needs met in so many other places, that I just become one of many idols in your life there to meet your needs? And could it be that you're just so self-deceived that you don't even recognize that you have no dependency upon me, because you've got lots of things in your life you depend upon instead? And you know what? I think this personally resonates with me. I think so often I want to say to God that he's distant from me, that he doesn't want to take the relationship to the next level, when the reality is I'm just blind to the little gods I've got in my life. I'm so blind to the ways that I'm self-sufficient. I'm so blind to the ways that I'd rather trust myself for my needs than to trust God. So often we're like James and Gina, aren't we? Who they were saying, yeah, actually, I've got a faith, but I wasn't going to go to God for that. I'm going to try all the other things first. The great reformer John Calvin said, the human heart is an idol factory. Every one of us from our mother's womb is an expert at inventing idols. We invent idols, we worship false, failing saviours. Some of the good things that we elevate to this kind of idol, godlike status are comfort in our life, approval in our life, success in our life, control in our life. And when we create things that compete with Jesus, for our affection, then we've got a relationship problem with cosmic implications that leads us to feeling God is distant from us, and it leads God to saying to your people, you're just lukewarm. Make me sick. Well, what are we to do? How do we turn this around? How do we grow in our intimacy with God? Let's talk about the application here. What are we to do? There's three things. Firstly, I want you to remember God's promise. I want you to notice how Jesus finishes his talk to this church. It's not the way we might expect. Verse 18, Jesus says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. For those I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Jesus' advice is, everything you need, you think you need, you can get from me. Come buy, come do business with me rather than everyone else and rather with your little idols out there. The real issue is, do you want me? And then he makes this great promise. Have a look at it again, verse 20, because it's not what we expect. Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Open the door, let me back in so that I can beat the living daylights out of you for putting me out there. That's what we expect. But no, 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 God doesn't say that. Notice the promise. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. His promise is, if you repent and turn to him and invite him back to be the only treasure, then he says, we'll eat together as friends. We'll have close, intimate fellowship. There will be a close connection. And in fact, that's exactly where James and Gina got to, wasn't it, in the end? And so the first thing I want to say is, notice the promise. If you want intimacy with God, then God's willing to give it. In fact, he promises to give it. But secondly, if you want intimacy with God, then plan to spend time with him. The Laodicean Christians let the hustle and bustle of their life distract them from God. And it's really easy for wealthy people like ourselves who are in the same situation to do that too. If you want intimacy, then you need to set aside time to develop a relationship with him. I've got a book on my shelf in the office. It's called Wasting Time with God. And I picked it up because I just love the title, actually, Wasting Time with God. And so I read it, and it's a terrific book. And really, if we want to develop a relationship with anyone, if we actually want to grow in intimacy with anyone, then that happens actually as you waste time with them. Meeting with someone because you've got an agenda doesn't necessarily grow a relationship. But when you say, hey, let's just hang out together today, that grows relationship. And so often, as Christians, what happens is that rather than spending time alone with God and wasting time with him and hanging out with him, we just end up kind of with agendas for God, doing things, serving him in some way, shape or form. Rather than build the relationship with God and build that personal intimacy, it ends up being that there's just burdens because I've got these things that I need to do for God. And what we do is we swap time with God for service for God. Service is great, service is important. But if you swap time for God for service for God, then you're going to end up with this lukewarm relationship. And then what happens is, of course, you get this lukewarm relationship, you drop out of service altogether, but rather than actually rebuilding the relationship with God, you simply stay distracted with all the other things that are going on. But if you want intimacy with God, then you need to waste time with him. You need to be still before God so that his word can take root in your heart. I read a devotion the other day which was part of the Gotham Devotions, which asked a terrific question. The question in the devotion was this: what room is there in your schedule for God to speak into your life? I thought, what a terrific question. What room is there in my schedule for God to actually speak his truth into my life? So often my schedule is so chaotic and hectic that I'm not spending that time or allowing God just to speak his truth into my life. Finally, if you want intimacy with God, not only do you need to remember the great promise that he's promising that he will give it to you if you repent, not only do you need to remember to spend time with him, but what we need to do is smash our false idols in our life. We start to need to become aware of and make a conscious choice to start smashing these idols in our life. The Laodicean Christians needed to start buying from God. That's the way God put it. Do your business with me. If you want connection with me, do your business with me. Because intimacy with God is achieved when you say to God, God, you alone are my treasure. You're the pearl of great price, which I give up everything else for. But intimacy will not be achieved while there are a myriad of gods out there competing for your focus. Intimacy with God can be achieved. You can be on fire for God. But it won't happen until you surrender all for Jesus, who gave all for you. Let us pray. Father, we firstly need to stop and say sorry. Sorry for the way that we depend upon so many other things in our life rather than upon you. We recognise that many of us here, if not all of us here, could be self-deceived. So often we're just not aware of the myriad of idols that are in our life, because our heart keeps making them day in and day out, almost faster than what we can smash them. But Father, we want to pray for your Spirit's help. I want to pray, Lord, that you would make us aware. Make us aware of these little idols in our life that we tend to run to before we run to you. We pray, Spirit of living God, that you would help us to surrender all to Jesus and let him be the ruler, the one that provides all for us, as only he can. It's in his name we pray this morning. Amen.